Merry Christmas to you all. I know that Josh has commented a few times of the great American hypocrisy that has just passed us by here in the last week. You know, the great American hypocrisy. We pause to give thanks on Thanksgiving Day, and then we push and we panic on Black Friday to get all the great deals before somebody else does. Right? That's the great American hypocrisy. And now, wow, now you don't even have to wait till 6 a.m. on Black Friday, right? You can kiss your family goodbye on Thanksgiving Day and make a mad dash to the department store on Brown Thursday. Isn't that great of them? Woo! Oh, yeah, okay. And oh, it makes some of us think, oh, for the days when you just simply enjoyed Jesus during Christmas. I mean, seriously, is Black Friday the reason for the season? And I don't think so, right? People used to talk about the birth of God's Son. Well, now they talk about the great deals. You know, Christmas, the time when great deals are born. I could see it. But it's only while supplies last, right? Now, I know what it's like to have limited supplies available. I grew up in a family of 11, counting my mom and dad. And getting gifts for everyone on a very limited budget, well, that was, it took creativity. Right, Ma? It took creativity. I remember years ago sitting around the kitchen table with my family, and my oldest brother, Jack, made this offhand comment. He said that the most inhumane gift you could ever give to a person is a fruitcake. I got the quote there. There you go. It's a fruitcake. Well, now at that time, I had not heard of Johnny Carson's take on fruitcake when he said that there's really only one fruitcake in the U.S., and it's passed around year after year from family to family. I was not aware of this. To be honest with you, I've never known much about fruitcake at all. So I decided to do some research. Yes, and you guys are going to benefit from my research today. I discovered that the origins of the fruitcake date all the way back to Roman times. Yeah. It didn't seem to do them much favors either, but it dates back to that. And then here, beginning in the 1700s, the Europeans began utilizing fruitcakes in their religious ceremonies. I think they used it to preserve the dead or something like that. But believe it or not, for years and years, fruitcakes were used as the top layer of a wedding cake, right? It was called the bride's cake. The bride's cake. But there's a reason. The newlyweds would put it in storage and savor this fruitcake at their future wedding anniversaries. You know, 5, 10, 25 years down the road. I mean, I bet you that was worth looking forward to. I can't wait for my anniversary to get here so we can have some more of that fruitcake. Seriously, people. Wow. But anyway, the guests at the wedding, they would receive a small piece of a separate fruitcake. So there was actually two fruitcakes there at a wedding. And this separate fruitcake was called the groom's cake. And this is what would happen. The single women would take a piece of this fruitcake and they would place it under their pillows. Now, my resource said that that was to aid in their dreams of a future groom to come true. I know that really it was a secret plot by parents to keep young men away from their daughters. And so, you know, I was thinking, Adam, you know, might want to be thinking about this. Fruitcake under the pillow. So it's worked for generations. Currently, the fruitcake capital of the world is found in the city of Claxton, Georgia. It's because this Italian immigrant, Savino Toss is his name. Savino Toss, he's to blame for this. when he made a fruitcake recipe that became a local favorite. And so now you have the Claxton Bakery Incorporated and the Georgia Fruitcake Company, and they ship millions of pounds of this holiday delicatessen all over the world. And we wonder why America has an overseas image problem. I think it's the fruitcake, right? Seriously, but that's what they do. Now, besides fruitcake, Claxton, Georgia is also known for chickens and inmates. Now, I figured that that was because that was the fruitcake industry's primary customer base. But I was mistaken. No, the Georgia Fruitcake Company claims that their core customer has always been the military. Yeah, I guess it dates back to when a government commissary once placed an order for 65,000 fruitcakes, thus revealing that the military's secret weapon is to infiltrate the enemy's food supply with fruitcake, bringing them to their knees. Truly effective. That's how the war was won. So, yeah. Now, Ira Romble is the owner and the operator of the Great Fruitcake Company, and this individual explained that a reason a lot of people don't like fruitcake is because they eat them when they're fresh. Well, God forbid that they would do this. No, that's what he said. He said they forget that fruitcake is supposed to be made, wrapped in an airtight container, and then put away. I think he meant put away of its misery, you know, put it out of its misery. I think that's what he meant. But no, he said put away. And he said he should do this anywhere from a month to 3 months. But he does admit that you could put fruitcake in a cabinet for as long as 3 years, and it'll still be good cake. I say, good for what? Doorstop? Seriously. Actually, residents of a small town in Colorado have discovered that the fruitcake is good for throwing long distances. Yeah. Participants are invited to throw or use a golf club or utilize some mechanical device to send fruitcake hurtling through the air. I've actually got a video of this year's Great Fruitcake Toss, where they recommend, on the website, they recommend that this is what you do with the horrid fruitcake that you have received during the holidays. That's what they say. So go ahead and show that video. Now you know what to do with that fruitcake. Throw it at the neighbors. But seriously, that's the fruitcake story there. But when my brother, when he exposed his perspective on fruitcake, one of my other brothers, Jeff, and I, we knew exactly what we needed to do. Yeah, scanning the aisles of the local grocery store. It actually was here in Decorah. It was the Jack and Jill, where it's over where the Club Pyramid is now, is where we found a separate display table full of unwanted fruitcake. Now, we realized that if we actually bought a fruitcake, it would feed the urban legend that people actually like fruitcake. But we did it anyway, to our shame. We wrapped it, and we stuck it under a tree. Well, 2 days later, Christmas had come. Everyone was opening their presents with glee, but Jeff and I, we could care less about what we got. We were waiting to see Jack's face when he opened his gift. And sure enough, he got it. He opened it with a flurry like we all do, and he feasted his eyes on the fruitcake. After a moment of noticeable shock, Jack realized that he knew not who gave him this gift or what their intentions were. And so to play it safe, he just said, "Look, fruitcake." You always have to look happy for a gift, right? You know, actually, I think more people would enjoy Jesus during Christmas if everyone got fruitcake for Christmas. I'm thinking so here, you know? But that's simply not the case, is it? Giving and getting gifts, it dominates our thinking during Christmas. I mean, it's the American way. In fact, we do it with such drive and passion that we become saturated in our materialism. America, unlike any other country, suffers from a new phobia called deronophobia. Deronophobia is the fear of giving or receiving gifts. Seriously, who knew? But I know that you have felt this fear. You have felt it. It's when you get, you have to get something for somebody who already bought everything they need on Black Friday. What does that leave you with? I mean, you're stuck. Your pulse begins to race. Perspiration runs down your face. And it's still a month until Christmas Day. So that's the deronophobia. You know, I'm facing the issue right now with my extended family. I mean, what do you get them? And that's why I am so thankful for America's capitalistic entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, sure enough, to bring relief to all of you who suffer from deronophobia, Time Magazine published a list of completely unique, totally unnecessary gifts. Yeah, you may want to write this down, those of you who are just like, what do you get? You might want to write these down. Okay, has anyone here lost your cell phone? Okay, lost your cell phone, a few of you. Real pain, isn't it? It's a real pain. Well, fear not, it will never happen to you again until all of your teeth fall out if you get the phone tooth. Yep. Sure enough, I am not kidding you. You can receive phone calls right into your mouth. That's right. And they're translated into vibrations that travel from your tooth into your skull to your inner ear. And you can tell what people are saying. Yeah, the phone tooth. Can you imagine getting a phone call during dinner? What? Okay, what you're saying? My mouth's full. Right? Made me wonder, what would fruitcakes sound like if somebody called, you know? I'll be back. I'm sure of it. That's what he would say. But I guess America's favorite pastime is, talking, because developers have also created this gift called the Sput Mic. Yeah, the Sput Mic. What is it? It's a basketball-sized wireless microphone that's well-powered, well-padded, so that crowds can pass it overhead like a beach ball. Now, you guys will all be happy to know that I have convinced Bob and Adam to include this in our budget to use during our open mic times. Yeah, we're going to put a net right in between the two sides, and we'll start throwing the Sput Mic back and forth, and whoever makes the first point, you know, the other team has to share a thought. So you can look forward to the Sput Mic at our next open mic time. But there you go. Now, of course, in America, we have this obsession with everything being fair. So if humans are getting more talk time, that means dogs deserve equal time. And I'm not kidding you, Japan has created a device that they claim translates dogs' yelps, growls, and whines into human phrases. Now, I'm serious. They've attached a radio microphone to Fido's collar, and you hold a receiver that translates his barks into sentences. Uh-huh. Now, those sentences are all in Japanese, so they're really not going to help us out any. But they are translated nonetheless. You know, what I would really like to have is something that would translate what I'm trying to say into dog talk, right? Fido, if you do that again, it's the pound for you, a pound of fruitcake. That'll get that dog in line, tell you. I mean, seriously, who needs this stuff? It simply distracts us from simply enjoying Jesus. Getting stuff that you absolutely don't need and sometimes don't even want, right, has replaced the very thing that we absolutely do need, Jesus. And, of course, the place where all this happens is the notorious Christmas party. You bring out the food, the booze, and the mistletoe, and you have the best time that you'll never remember. That's the Christmas party. Now, growing up in our house, we knew how to party. I mean, we were like party central. I mean, with 11 people in your family, you had half the party right there. Yeah? So I'll never forget this one winter when there was a severe snowstorm, and it was threatening to kill our holiday festivities, when all of a sudden my brother, Jack again, drives up to the house in his snowmobile with a bunch of his snowmobile buddies, and they drop off a bunch of their riders and then took off to get more partygoers. I mean, it's hilarious the lengths that people will go through to get to a good party, unlike getting to a good church. I mean, you know how it goes. The clouds start to roll in. The wind picks up a little bit. The forecast says it might look like snow. And the husband looks at the wife and says, "We'd better not go to church today. Too dangerous." I mean, think of the kids. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if a snowstorm hit on Sunday morning and the pastor rides up to your place in a snowmobile and says, "Hey, I'm here to pick you up for church." Yeah, I know what happened. A husband would look at the wife and say, "Look, fruitcake." It's exactly what would happen. I mean, why does simply enjoying Jesus sound so unenjoyable? Christians worldwide, they feel like they've hit upon this slick marketing campaign with the phrase, "Jesus is the reason for the season." I remember the first time I bought a pin with that phrase on there, I felt like I was some sort of rebel or radical or something. It's like, it's weird. But is Jesus the reason for the season? I mean, if you're contrasting Jesus with Christmas gifts and parties and the like, well then, yeah, definitely, Jesus is the reason for the season compared to those things. But is Jesus the reason for the season? In other words, what or who is Christmas for? During Jesus' day, the Pharisees had made an idol out of the Sabbath. And Jesus confronted them on it, saying this in Mark. I believe it's in Mark. Yep. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was not supposed to enslave the Jews to yet another requirement, you know, that they have to obey. This day of rest, this Sabbath day of rest, it was meant to benefit and to bless the Jews and not to give them another command. It wasn't meant to enslave them to yet another requirement with all these restrictions that they have to obey. It was meant to liberate them from being overwhelmed by the pressures and the activity of work throughout the week. The Sabbath was for them. It was for us. What has become of Christmas? I fear that for many of us, Christmas has become like the Sabbath was during Jesus' day. Christmas is only like 17 days away, and I've got to do this and that, and I got to go here and there, and I got to buy this thing and that thing, and now there's people that suffer from deronophobia. I think we've lost the real reason for the season when we get stressed out by all the entertainment pressures and the financial pressures and the ghosts of Christmas pasts. I mean, who or what would you say is the Lord of your Christmas? Who is the Lord of your Christmas? I know of a perfectly good Christian family that would have given the right answer to that question. Well, Christmas is all about Jesus and the baby Jesus being born in the manger. And God gave us the gift of his own son, and we reflect that by giving gifts to each other. Well, good answer, very good answer. But in this family's quest to show this kind of love of God by buying and giving and receiving gifts, they went deep into debt. Thousands of dollars into debt buying Christmas gifts. And at a rocky point in their marriage, their financial condition, it hit the fan and it was the last straw. Their right answer did not save their marriage. Maybe they should have spent more time enjoying Jesus and enjoying each other rather than enjoying their expensive gifts. God is more concerned with meeting our genuine needs than he is about protecting the American Christmas traditions. You see, here's the point. We are the reason for the season. Jesus didn't need Christmas. He was perfectly content with being up in heaven. He did not need it. The Christmas holiday doesn't exist for Jesus. It exists because we needed it. We need to be deeply reminded that God so radically cares about us that he came to rescue us, to liberate us from a fallen and screwed up world. We needed Christmas. We needed a Savior. We needed Jesus. And that's why he came. And that's why this season exists. It's for us. Listen to the account of the birth of Jesus recorded in Matthew 1 with that thought in mind, that Christmas is for us. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Jesus woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I wonder if we allow ourselves to get caught up and stressed out by the trappings of the Christmas season because of our own reluctance to deal with Jesus, to allow him to be the Lord of our Christmas. You know, because honestly, our flesh likes the stuff. It likes the parties. It likes it more than it likes Jesus. And then we wonder why Christmas can be such a pain, can be such a burden. Guys, let's not let the mantras of our society keep us from genuinely enjoying this time of the year. Relax, reflect, enjoy your family, and enjoy the life God has given to you. Simply put, enjoy Jesus this Christmas. Replace the rush and the fuss of the holidays with the peace and the joy that we sing about in these Christmas carols. Christmas is for us. God intended Christmas to be his gift to us. It's to benefit us. It's to bless us. It's not meant to put us into the hole for another year or to cause us to have a mental breakdown, develop a new phobia. No. Christmas is for us, that we might be blessed and benefited and enjoy Jesus. Christmas is here to meet our need for hope and for salvation. Isn't that the reason for the season? And Bob and I, we're going to expand on this thought to enjoy Jesus, simply enjoying Jesus, in our next two Sunday messages. what it would look like to simply enjoy Jesus. Certainly, Jesus has got to be a lot more enjoyable than fruitcake. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you know what we need for Christmas. We need Jesus. We need you front and center, dominating our hearts and our minds and our thinking. Oh, Lord, might we fall in love with Jesus and enjoy your presence and your spirit in us, that God showed us such an incredibly insane amount of love that you would become a child. I mean, an infant, depending on humans to live these first few years of your life. You depended on us. You did this for us. Oh, God, might we have our eyes fixed on Jesus this Christmas, enjoying you over and above all the other stuff that this season is filled with. Oh, Lord, we thank you. With all our hearts, we thank you for the gift of your own Son. In Jesus' name, amen.